From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Caudette. This is Idaho Matters. COVID infections and hospitalizations, well, they're on the rise here in the United States, as well as Europe and Asia. Health officials are pointing to the EG5 coronavirus. This is a subvariant of the Micron lineage that originally emerged back in November of 2021. So, what is this variant? What are the symptoms of it? And frankly, what all do we need to know about it? Well, joining us today to talk more about this is Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System, and he was a member of the Idaho Coronavirus Task Force as well. Dr. Pate, nice to have you on the show.
Thank you, Gemma.
So, Dr. Pate, let's just start at the beginning. What is this EG5 coronavirus? And do we, you know where it emerged? And because we are starting to see some surges.
That's true. And this variant was just relatively recently discovered back in July. And it was in Europe, is where we think it first emerged. And it's the continuing story of what we've been dealing with. First of all, EG.5 emerged as a consequence of somebody being infected with two different subvariants that then those two subvariants swapped some of their genetic material to come out with a combination of the two, something we call a recombinant. Then that recombinant went through multiple mutations. That one has acquired at least five significant mutations, and that's because of the fact that there is still so much transmission of this virus across the world. So now we're dealing with EG.5, which is still in the Omicron family, but it's a result of the recombination plus multiple mutations, and it is continuing the course that we've seen with Omicron in terms of higher transmissibility than prior variants before Omicron and more immune evasion. We don't have any reason to suspect at this time that it's going to cause more severe disease, except that it may in some individuals because so much has changed since we had those previous variants, and we can certainly talk about what some of those factors are.
So what I'd like to talk about before we get into that are the symptoms of this variant. Is it the same as what we have seen historically with COVID, in particular, since this is a subvariant, right, as I mentioned, of Omicron?
Right. So, yes, all the same kinds of symptoms. Different people tend to get different symptoms. And so anything that's making you feel ill and different, you should just get tested. I've heard a lot of people saying, oh, yeah, I got these symptoms and I tested negative, so it must be the summer flu. Well, it's important to keep in mind that the respiratory viruses, the other ones, flu, RSV, human metapneumovirus, et cetera, those are at really, really low levels right now, the lowest we see in a year. So it's very unlikely that it's something else. If you test negative, what it means is it may be too early. You need to wait 24, 48 hours, test again, because it may just turn up negative early. Incidentally, I have, recently we had not been seeing as much loss of taste and smell. Incidentally, I've heard some people recently tell me they are having that. So that's anecdotal. I don't know, but pretty much any kind of symptom, even just fever, headache, fatigue, muscle aches, any of those kinds of things. Some people are reporting some gastrointestinal symptoms. Basically, if you feel ill, get tested.
So in regards to a surge, I know, Dr. Pate, that most experts are saying that this will be fairly mild. But are there some differences that we need to be thinking about in terms of where we are now and where we are if we compare a type of surge that we had back in 2021 and 2022?
Yes, Jim, I think that's an important point. I too, if I had to predict, I would say that this is not going to be a surge of the magnitude of what we dealt with before. However, we should remain humble and we should keep in mind, as you and I have talked many times, when we're talking about what can we expect, we have to consider two different things. We have to consider what changes have happened in the virus and then what changes have happened with people, both in terms of their own immune status, you know, have they been vaccinated? When were they last vaccinated? Have they been infected? When were they last infected? Those kind of things, but also behaviors. And so keep in mind, this variant now is far more transmissible and immune evasive than the ones we dealt with in 20 and 21. Second, we are starting school this week or next week, depending on where the kids go to school. And even though there are some signs maybe this was plateauing in the eastern United States, I think we need to see if we don't have a big uptick in cases with the opening of schools. Early in 20 and 21, it did not appear that children played a major role in transmission of this virus, which was very surprising to me because they do for most respiratory viruses. However, data since then, and probably also impacted by the fact that we do have these more transmissible variants, is showing kids play a major role in transmission of this virus to their families. One country did a very nice study showed that 70% of the infections in a family started with the school-aged child. The other things that we should take into account are now workplaces. Very few workplaces are still taking the same mitigation measures. A lot of companies have cut back on remote working or even ended it. And a particular concern that I have is that hospitals are not, it's shocking to me, but they're not using significant precautions like we were back in 20 and 21. And while in the United States, we don't report or hospitals aren't required to report infections that occur while the patient's in the hospital, we know that it happens commonly in other countries. And we know that when you are admitted to a hospital for some other reason, but then you get infected by the staff or other patients, your mortality from COVID in that situation is 30 to 40 times more than what we see in the general population, which makes sense because of the nature of the patients who are in hospitals. Also, you and I know it's pretty rare to see masking in the community. And while masks can't prevent you from getting infected, it reduces the viral load. In other words, the amount of viruses that you would breathe in if you did get infected. And that has been correlated with getting milder disease, whereas if you're not masked and you get a higher load, you might be at more risk for severe disease. Plus, in 21 and 22, we had a lot more treatment options for people with severe disease than we do today. In fact, the big option that we had to protect immunocompromised patients, Evusheld, we don't have available today because now the virus is resistant to it. And then just think about the fact that if, for any listeners, if you were exposed to someone that had confirmed COVID, you were in close contact with them, how many of you could get 5 days paid sick leave or leave to stay home to isolate from your employer these days? My guess is all those employers would be expecting you to come, even though you've been exposed. And so a lot different situation. I think we could see a lot more transmission than we saw back in those days. although even with all these factors, I still don't expect it to be anywhere near what we dealt with before.
So I only have about 2 minutes left with you, Dr. Payton. I really want to talk then about vaccinations and vaccines. What do we need to know about when to get another vaccine? Is there a new one coming out? All of those things that you know, now with this new variant, I'm sure people are thinking about.
Yes, absolutely, Gemma. Back earlier this year, the FDA indicated that their instructions to vaccine manufacturers was go to a monovalent vaccine. In other words, just one virus spike protein. And they gave the guidance that it should be modeled after XBB.1.5. And that will be fine for this current variant by all predictions. Mm-hmm. What is surprising to me is the company said, no problem, we can have vaccine ready by August. But we can't give it to people until the CDC gives us the guidance and the approval. And the CDC hasn't done that. And the new CDC director said, oh, well, these shots should be ready in October. I have no idea why the delay. And once again, the CDC is not being very transparent with us. Now, the most late statement the new director gave was end of September. So I don't know. Stay tuned. We will have new COVID vaccines. And hopefully at the very end of September and no later than the very beginning of October. But to your point, Gemma, yes, as soon as that comes out, please go get it. Many people haven't had a vaccine in the last year. While we know they still have good protection against severe disease, we don't know how much longer than a year that will last. So get a new vaccine as soon as they're ready.
Well, as always, Dr. Pate, really appreciate this information and how we move through this. So thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Want to learn how to be a master of business without going back to school? Listen to the Planet Money MBA. No suits, no PowerPoints, just the secrets of business school delivered straight to your ears. Every Wednesday till Labor Day on Planet Money from NPR.